3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the official podcast of the Seattle Mariners. Gary Hill here. Glad you're along with us. Wow. What a night last night. Mariners get the win 2-0 over the Blue Jays and sweep aside the Jays at the same time. 8-1 homestand. Oh, so impressive in this homestand for the M's. We're going to dive into the game, go through the highlights in just a moment to get you ready for Detroit, although off day coming up tonight. So in the podcast tomorrow, we'll really get you geared up for the Detroit series. It is a big series right now. The Mariners in a tie with the Tigers for the second wild card. So it's going to be a big series. We'll talk a little bit about it with Shannon Dreher in this podcast, but we'll go in depth tomorrow in the Detroit series. Also, Mark Simon's going to be with us in the podcast tomorrow. ESPN writer just wrote a great piece on Kyle Seager and his improved defense. He makes the case for Seager being the most improved defensive player in baseball. So we're going to talk to him, Mark Simon from ESPN, about that in the podcast tomorrow. This one, though, we're going to review last night, talk a little bit about the homestand, how important it's been. We'll hear from Mike Zunino, his thoughts on the homestand. Also, we're going to hear from Chris Young. I love any time we get a chance to hear from Chris Young when he talks about pitching, because it's just fun to listen to. He's such a surgeon out there, so thoughtful when it comes to pitching, and I love hearing him talk about how he goes about his business in terms of pitching. So we'll hear from Chris Young as well. So we're looking forward to that. Also, let me just say this. Just make sure you stick around to the end, because it's glorious. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard Rick Riz rap? Probably not, is the answer that you'd give me. Well, you're going to today. Rick Riz is going to rap on the podcast. You're going to like this one. I guarantee you're going to like this one. So big podcast once again. But let's dive into it last night. What a series against the Jays. They were looking for the clean sweep.
8-1 homestand. This note from Jeff Evans, and this is a beauty of a note. Second best homestand, tied for second best homestand in Mariners history of seven games or longer. The only one that beat it was an 11-1 homestand in May and June in 2001. Second best in Mariners history, and a very timely homestand as well. But let's break this one down as the Mariners get the win 2-0, as the runs came very, very early in this one for the M's. Started with a base hit by Austin Jackson. Dustin Ackley flies out to center. Robinson Cano lines out to center field. And then Kendrys Morales steps up to the dish.
There's the pitch of the way. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Down the line. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Kendrys Morales. His second home run as a Mariner and third of the season. He got a tumbler up in the strike zone and hits it out of here to right. And the Mariners take a 2-0 lead here in the bottom of the first inning. Kendrys Morales into the lower deck in right with Austin Jackson aboard.
Morales with hits in four straight at-bats dating back to yesterday. A couple of home runs, a double. We're going to talk more about him. If he starts heating up, watch out. This is a legit middle of the order. Cano has already been MVP worthy. He's in the discussion, top five, top seven. You have Seager, who's been absolutely a monster this year. You stick Morales in the middle of that. Watch out. And it's funny, we've talked about how this lineup has turned over, how this lineup is different than it's been this season with the additions. You have Austin Jackson with the hit. You have Morales with the home run to drive him in. How about that? Two runs right there. On the other side of things, Hisashi Iwakuma was rolling along and got some help from his defense.
The 2-1 pitch. Swinging a shot off the top of the mound, in behind second, up with the ball. Miller, spin move, throws in time, got him. Holy smokes, what a play by Brad Miller, robbing Colby Rasmus. A low skipper right off the top of the mound, in behind second, shallow center field. Miller going way to his left, spin move to his glove side, a 360 turn.
What a play there by Miller. As he, it was a whirl, it was a throw, it was a great play. Asashi Iwakuma, he was in and out of trouble at times, including the fourth inning, bases loaded facing Kawasaki, and he got a big punch out.
The 3-2 on the way, swing and a foul tip into the glove of Zunino, hangs onto it for strike three. Holy smokes, and Iwakuma gets himself out of a jam. Third strikeout of the ball game for Asashi Iwakuma, and the Blue Jays leave two runners stranded.
Well, it's nights like this where you can see the true greatness of a pitcher. When it was clear Iwakuma didn't have his A stuff, especially his splitter, which is his go-to, his devastating splitter. At the same time, he's able to keep the Blue Jays off the board at times. You know, bases loaded in the fourth. There were base runners on in scoring position in the third inning as well. Base runners aboard in the first and the fifth. Yet, through it all, able to keep the Blue Jays off the board. And this crowd certainly appreciated his efforts.
Lloyd claps his hands twice, wearing that dark navy blue Mariners hoodie. He takes the ball from Iwakuma, who exits to a standing ovation here at Safeco Field.
And then bring on the filthy bullpen, and they got it done, starting with Danny Farquhar.
The 1-2, swing and a miss, and a curveball, a 76-mile-an-hour wipeout curve. Reyes spinning around like a soda can there at the plate. What a pitch there by Danny Farquhar. He strands two. He gets the Mariners out of the top of the seventh.
That's a good description of it. Looked like a top as he went around and around and around, swinging and missing at that pitch. And, boy, it just got from nasty to more nasty, nastier, nastiest. I mean, that's the way it looked with the bullpen. It was Medina's turn after that.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and a slider. Strike three. Medina strikes out Jose Bautista. Back-to-back strikeouts for Medina here in the top of the eighth inning. And the Blue Jays have two down in the eighth. What a pitch.
I feel like bullpen, those guys should pitch with Mr. Yuck stickers on their hats. It is just, it's filthy, it's nasty. Medina threw a couple up there that were just sick and unhittable. And then Fernando Rodney, he closes it down.
The 0-2 pitch to go, swing and a miss, strike three and a changeup. And this ball game is over. Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky. And the Mariners sweep aside the Toronto Blue Jays. They win game three by a score of 2-0. For the Mariners, their eighth shutout win of the year. And they remain tied for that number two wild card spot.
There it was. How about that? As the Mariners, they get the victory over the Blue Jays. They sweep aside the Jays, an 8-1 homestand. They've won four in a row, 11-4 in their last 15 ball games. They outscore their opponents by 35 in this homestand, plus 35 on this homestand for the Mariners. That is just eye-popping what they've done in this 9-game homestand. 8-1, very impressive stuff. First, I have to share with you some pretty tremendous numbers when you talk about, I mean, think about what the Jays, let's turn things around from the Jays' perspective. They come into Seattle. They get to face Felix, Chris Young, Iwakuma, and this just nasty, filthy bullpen for three games. And it was just, it was lockdown. It was lockdown city here. And I was specifically looking at the numbers for Felix and Iwakuma combined, what they have done is kind of a 1-2 punch at the top of the order. Because we've had this discussion time to time about who is the best 1-2 punch in baseball. And, you know, we've always put Felix and Iwakuma towards the top. But you look at what they've done since June 29th. Let these numbers sink in for a second. Since June 29th, Felix and Iwakuma combined a 1.60 ERA, a 1.76 batting average against, in 124 innings, 120 strikeouts, and 17 walks. They have been absolutely untouchable, unbelievable, and unhittable. at the top of the rotation for the Mariners. Those numbers are unbelievable. Since June 29th, that's a sample size of 17 starts. So we're not talking about four or five starts here. That is a long run that those two guys have anchored the top for the Mariners and have just been lights out.
And it could start to get a lot tougher for opposing hitters. Chris Young has been very good, too, but you heard Lloyd McClendon talk about it in the postgame show, and he's been in the postgame interview, and he's been talking about this quite a bit the last couple of days. He believes James Paxton, from everything that he's been saying, he's going to be an impact. He's going to be the glue. And when he says glue, he means with everything that you've gotten at 1-2 and what you've had at 3, you've had not much out of 5 this year. I believe they've got 2 wins from the number 5 starter this year. That's pretty remarkable. And when Lloyd McClendon says Paxton will be the glue, he means then there's going to be no let up. 1-5, and it's just going to roll right over back to Felix, back to Kuma. And from everything that he's been saying about what he's expecting from Paxton, I talked with Rick Waits about this too about a week ago, and he said he's full go. He's 100%. He hasn't been pitching much this year. He's very strong right now. We're going to lean on this guy. And from the way they've been talking about him, I really get the feeling that particularly with what he did in his last start, they believe he's what he was at the beginning of the season.
Now, the way you describe that situation, it's Cobra Kai. There's no mercy. There is no mercy for opponents. I mean, that's what this is all about. When you talk about the rotation completing the circle and then the bullpen. That's just icky.
And we've talked about it, and I think it's something that we hadn't really considered, but I think right now this is the team that no one wants to face because of that.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, we're going to throw in some offense right now, too. And that obviously is so much more of a smaller sample size. What the pitching has done is real. It's very real. You've seen it for an entire season. There's been no let-up. It's been basically the same guys. Bullpen is a historic pace right now. There's no questioning what this pitching is. Offense, sure. We've been looking at it working for the better part of 12 days right now on a consistent basis. But you don't need much. They're achieving that right now. They're getting more than that right now. And you pair that with the pitching. And you've got to kind of wonder, particularly teams that have faced them before, and they're going to be going in against the Angels. They're going to be going in against Oakland. Neither team likes facing this team's pitching. Oakland has been very vocal about it.
They have been. Every guy in the clubhouse has talked about it.
And so you've got to wonder what happens if the Mariners are able to score a couple runs early in those games.
I want to hear about this homestand from the player perspective, Shannon. You were down in the clubhouse. It is tough to beat a homestand like this. In fact, the Mariners as a franchise have only done it one time. That was in 2001 with an 11-1 homestand. But 8-1, that's something special.
It is, and you started to hear it last night. We talked to a lot of guys last night in the clubhouse because there was a lot of offensive contribution. You heard from Dustin Ackley and Kyle Seager, and they're pretty fired up about what they're doing right now. We talked to Kendrys Morales in the clubhouse with an interpreter. He's feeling much better at the plate, feels it's coming right now, and he's kind of the take them one day at a time. He's been to the playoffs, obviously, before with the Angels, and also caught up with Mike Zunino, who's behind the plate. He's catching all of this fantastic pitching, and he's just enjoying the role that they're on. He described this homestand simply as awesome.
I mean, it's nice to come back and have a good, successful homestand. I mean, we lost a couple close games in Baltimore right before we came home, but you know what? I think we bounced right back and played good baseball, and I think guys are getting comfortable with the plate, and we're looking forward to, transitioning that into this road trip.
How about just getting the offense going this homestand?
Yeah, I think guys are sort of, settling in their roles maybe in the lineup and, feeling better at the plate, and I think that's the biggest thing. And, it's just one of those things that once one guy gets going, a lot of guys, want to just tack on too. So, hopefully we can keep that going throughout.
How much of it is the pitching? I've talked to a couple of guys, and they say that gives you a lot of confidence in that you know that you only have to do so much.
Tonight a 2-run home run in the first is all it took. It's incredible. Our starters and our relievers are, I feel like the best in baseball. We feel like we have a lead and we have confidence. Obviously we always want to tack on more, but it's just something that we give a little extra boost when they're out there.
What did you see from Iwakuma today? Obviously, he was still effective.
Yeah, no, I think he did a great job. But sinking the ball away from me, threw inside when he needed to. He had a good off-speed pitches tonight. I mean, it's a tough lineup to pitch to, but I thought he did a good job.
I know it's a long season, but how big would you say this homestand was to be able to do what you guys did?
Oh, I think every homestand's big, but, I mean, when we come back and play good baseball, you mean, obviously right in the thick of things. I mean, to be able to play good baseball this time and, you mean, win a few ball games is key.
You've had good stretches this year as a team. What's different right now?
I mean, I think everyone's sort of, you mean, settling, obviously. I mean, on the road trip, we got some guys at the deadline that, I mean, are obviously helping us right now. And, you mean, I think we're still meshing and we're getting on the right page. And we're just looking to build on that. You mean, hit full stride come later on.
How do you approach? I mean, you're going into a series right now where not only do these games mean something, but you guys are tied.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously big games. And, you mean, we were able to throw our three big guys at them today, or this series, you know what I mean? So that gives us a lot of confidence, and I mean, we're able to go out and I mean, just play good baseball. I think that's what our biggest thing has been all year, is to play good, solid baseball.
Now, this was good, solid baseball in this series. And, I mean, Shannon, the difference between this series, the Mariners and the Blue Jays, the way they played, I mean, they beat them in all phases. I mean, you're talking about offensively, you're talking about pitching, you're talking especially defensively, where the Mariners were outstanding and the Blue Jays shaky at best. I mean, it was all phases in this series.
It was. I think the offense was the thing that was most encouraging to see. But, you know, you remember Blue Jays came in here and the Mariners were able to take advantage of a team that was very tired, of bullpen that was spent, and they got rattled. You know, it was a little bit shocking to see some of the defensive miscues, I think, that we saw this time of year from the Blue Jays, a team that is in a race right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I was just, I got mesmerized there for a second. That's why I didn't say anything, because I was looking at Hisashi Wakuma in his last nine starts. How about a 1.83 ERA? 202 batting average against, 54 Ks, 4 walks. I mean, it feels like, maybe even quietly, which is funny to say for the guy that finished third in the American League Cy Young voting last year, but he is starting to put together, and I just went over the numbers between Felix and Iwakuma, the 1-2 punch, but he is putting together a nice long stretch of awesome pitching.
Back-to-back years. I mean, right now he looks like what he looked like for the majority of last season. It took a little while for him to get into it after missing spring training. And I had some questions. What were we going to see? Was what we saw last year, was that the top for him? Was that something he could repeat? I think he's answering that right now.
Yeah, he's repeating it. I mean, he's been just as good. Or when you dive into some of the metrics even further, you can make the argument that he's been even better. You can make the argument his splitter has been even better, which, I mean, is silly talk, given what his splitter did last year. I mean, it's been just sensational. A sweep of the Jays, a series that the M's dominated. And for a perspective on how the series went, let's go to the Blue Jays clubhouse and hear from their skipper, John Gibbons.
You only give up 2 runs yourself. Usually that means there's a pretty good chance you can win the game.
Well, we faced him before. He was a pretty good pitcher. But, yeah, I mean, they shut down our offense. It was stone cold. You know, we scored a few last night, but it was pretty much a mismatch, you know, and then they get to the pen, you know, there's no let up down there either. So, good off day tomorrow, bounce back Friday.
No lack of opportunities. I mean, you had a lot, you had runners on, a lot of 2-0 hits, just again, unable to get that, the key one when you needed it.
Well, yeah, that's the key to these games. That's the key to baseball, you know. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't.
Outside of the home run, Moran gave you another quality start.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Yeah, you know, take away, you know, Morales hits us for some reason. You know, he hit us at first series back, hadn't played in I don't know how many months, back when he first signed with Minnesota. He hit us in, and he's hitting us now. Yeah.
There was. I took, just in that quick bite, I took stone cold, stop their offense stone cold. I took no let up when he talked about the bullpen, and mismatch was thrown in there as well. I thought he summed up things pretty well.
I think so. Shut down. It's what Lloyd McClendon said in spring training. He said, I've got shut down pitching right now. And now you've got other managers saying it.
Yeah. Before we get to the Detroit series, Shannon, let's touch on Kendrys Morales here for a minute, because we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he can approach the guy he was last season for the M's, I mean, how big would that be for this offense? And here he is, the 2-run home run, the single coming off of what he did yesterday, and intentionally walked at the same time for Kyle Seager. I know that worked out for the Blue Jays this time around, but that's not necessarily going to work out very often, intentionally walking Morales to get to Seager. But if he can get things cooking, that would be something for the middle of this lineup.
Well, the middle of this lineup has been missing a piece for a long time. And Lloyd McClendon's going to keep putting him there. I get a lot of questions on why is he here and hitting fourth? Why isn't Seager moved up? Why isn't Logan Morrison moved up when he was in the on the hitting streak? And a lot of things come into play, but you still do have a good amount of left at the top of the lineup. And Kendrys gives you that switch hit. He can go right if need be. And also, it's something that he's very familiar with. And McClendon is not going to move a young player up in the lineup until he feels he's absolutely ready. And he's a believer in that different positions in the lineup come, I think, with different expectations and perhaps different pressures, and the last thing he wants is anybody who is on a little bit of a run to change because they're hitting fourth. So being able to put Kendrys in there, somebody who's dealt with it and is not going to change anything, is huge. And you heard what John Gibbons said about him, and they've seen Kendrys at his best. He hit the other home run that he hit this year since coming back was against the Toronto Blue Jays. So, you know, that's why you saw that intentional walk. Got a couple hits already. They've seen him earlier this year. We're going to put him on right now. It's hard to evaluate where he is a day after hitting a knuckleballer because you just don't know. You know, that's
absolutely. That is absolutely right.
You know, that you look at those pitches, and I'm not sure how much luck plays into it, but it's not a conventional at bat by any means. But to see the extra base hits in the last 2 days, talk Kendrys in the clubhouse and hear him say that he's getting more and more comfortable, to see the work that's going on behind the scenes. He told me he feels about the same on both sides of the plate right now as far as the swings go. And that's something I think a lot of people forget. You didn't have the spring training, and he's a switch hitter. And it takes a long time to get both swings going. So if he's able to get back anywhere near to where he was, and we have seen some good things in the last couple of days, it'll be more than just presence in the lineup that we see.
So let's dive into the Tigers a little bit here, Shannon. I always think it's difficult to sweep on the road, no matter who you're playing. But you look at the matchups, Paxton, Porcello, game one of the series, Felix and Price, which is going to be a beauty on Saturday. And then Chris Young against To Be Determined. I mean, the way they're playing right now, I think the expectations should be winning a series. And this against the team that they are tied with for the second wild card, this is going to be awesome.
You couldn't ask to go in under a better circumstance. They get the day off. They're feeling very good about themselves right now. So much confidence on both sides of the ball. The offense, the defense, the pitching, it's all clicking right now. Add to the fact that they're very comfortable on the road. Felix is going in this series. It all sets up very nicely.
And then on the other side of things, Detroit, I mean, they won today, and we'll get to the scoreboard coming up. They beat the Pirates, but it since that 19-inning affair, you know, they've had some really tough losses on the field and off the field. I mean, you look at what's happened to them with Verlander, the scare that they got. He's going to miss a start. He hasn't been pitching very well anyway. Mm-hmm. Sanchez, that is a huge loss, and I don't know if it's getting enough play because he's going to be out for a while. He is a very underrated piece to what they do. You break down the numbers, he's been dynamite for the last couple
years. He's been tough against the Mariners.
Yeah.
I'm glad they don't have to face
him. And he doesn't get the attention because, obviously, I mean, Scherzer is fantastic. Verlander has been really good. I mean, he's been great. This year he struggled, but Sanchez doesn't get the attention, but he's out for a while. I think it's interesting they don't have their center fielder now, who's with the Mariners, you know, the center fielder leadoff guy, no longer with that club. I mean, there's some question marks surrounding Detroit right now, but don't mistake it, they're going to be up for this series as well.
Without question, but the one thing is they really haven't faced that kind of adversity, you know, since Cabrera was out for a while. They've been cruising for a while, and this is a big blow.
Yeah, and Kansas City just tracked them down like that. I mean, they reeled them in by playing such great baseball.
So the other thing I want to do tomorrow as well, I've mentioned it, that we'll hear from Mark Simon, and hopefully we'll get the perspective from Detroit to really dive into what they look like. So hopefully that's coming. I want to read a lot of your messages too. So Twitter at Gary Hill Jr. or GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. A couple of things I'm thinking about. One is just your excitement level coming off this homestand. I just want to know, like, where you're at with this month and a half left in the season. I mean, how pumped up are you about this team right now? That's one. And two, your expectations for this series coming up with Detroit. So I want to go through, I want to rip through a bunch of messages. So it doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be in depth, just your quick thoughts. I'd love to get those. So Gary Hill, pxp@gmail.com or Twitter as well, at Gary Hill Jr. I'd love to rip through a few of those in the podcast tomorrow as we get primed for a big weekend series against the Tigers. Also, I want to play right now a bit of a conversation we had. I want to dive into this a little bit further, but this is a good starting point, I think, about Lloyd McClendon and what he has brought to the table for the Mariners this year. And I think it's pretty interesting, especially with Lou Piniella in over the weekend. I think we've seen some similarities between Lou Piniella and Lloyd McClendon. What Lloyd McClendon has done with the club this year, I see some parallels between Lou and McClendon. You know, so much of what we talk about with managers, we often talk about, you know, bringing the lefty out of the bullpen, the lineups, you know, things like that on the field. But in my opinion, and I want to get your opinion too on the roundtables, I think the most important role for a manager and the most important job and number one job is managing the clubhouse, managing the team. You have so many different personalities, so many different guys from all over the place, and you're trying to pull them all into one direction. That's what Lou Piniella was so good at, managing the personalities, managing the team. And I've seen the same thing from Lloyd McClendon here. I want to get your thoughts on the parallels between those two and what you think the most important role of a manager is.
I think that is it. Lou Piniella said it yesterday. We were talking to Lou, and that's what Lou talked about. And it's a difficult one. And I think that when you look at all the different dynamics in the clubhouse and personalities, backgrounds, all those things, and you have to get all of those guys together, try to keep them all happy. If you're not playing, you're not happy, Gary. I can tell you that. And you have to manage that whole situation. And more importantly, make the 25th guy feel like he's important to what's going on. That's how you have a club, and I think that's the most important thing that he has to do. There's a lot of people that know when to bring the left-hander in, as you put it. But I think to manage those guys and make them get them to a point to where you're going to get the most out of them, I think is a real key. I know that talking to Lou yesterday, and he was very humble about what he was talking about as a manager, and he went through the process, and we heard it on the field, and he said it again later on TV that, you know, he's got Junior and he's got Randy and he had Alex at some point and Jay and Edgar and all these great players. And I told him, I said, you're being awfully humble because I also know that you have to get the entire group to make that. Junior's not going to go out and win a game by himself every day. A lot of days he can, but not every day. And you need the other guys. And I mentioned to Lou, I said, you know, he got the best years out of me when I played for him. It was the best time that I had. You look at Doug Strange and Rich Amaral and on with all these guys. They all had their best years for some reason when they were playing for Lou. And I think we're seeing a lot of that with some of the guys here and the job that Lloyd has done this year.
I think the biggest thing that one of the biggest things that Lou did and Lloyd has done is you got to make these guys believe that they can win and that he's got the right plan to put together the right team. And you got to be on the same page. And if you're not, you got to get rid of them. And that's what Lou did. I mean, he did a lot of sifting out over the first few years to get the team that he wanted. But if you can get them to believe that we can do this, that you can win at this level, then this is how to do it. Trust me. Let me help you. The speech that he gave you, I think, one time. That's, I think, one of the biggest things that Lou did, and that's one of the biggest things I think that I've seen in Lloyd McClendon, too.
I think it's been, and it's been said a lot, I think, and this is something that Lloyd said in spring training. That a lot of people just kind of chuckled about, but there was a serious point to it, and that is, going to give you guys a chance. If you can go play, go play. If you don't play, I'm going to have to find somebody else because I like my job and I have to feed my family.
Right.
There you go. It's right out there in front of you. No questioning it. Go do your job. And he's had to make changes. Mm-hmm. And he's had to make some changes with some people that he really fought for at the beginning, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I think you have to make these guys accountable. And winning the ball game is the most important thing, regardless of who you are. And I think that's a hard thing to do sometimes when you have some big personalities and superstars on your club, which the Mariners do, and you get them all pulling in the same direction. It can be difficult at times, but I think Lloyd's done an exceptional job of that.
He really has.
One of the things that I've seen from Lloyd that has been kind of marveled at, because I haven't really seen it from everybody before, but there has been no panic in him at any time of this season. And panic might not be the right word there, but he has treated every game like it is one game. And I would imagine that he is giving that to the club as well, and they're picking up on that. Did you get that from Lou? Were there times when Lou really kind of did turn up the heat on the team a little bit, or was he as even-keeled as what we've seen from Lloyd?
It depended, I think, on the circumstances and the timing of it. The one thing that Lou, and a lot of this probably comes, Shannon, from his background being in New York for as long as he was, but he knew when the pressure was building, and that's when he would typically do something or say something to take the attention off of that and put it on him. That's what a leader does. And he was the best at it. And we've seen that Lloyd. The one thing that Lloyd has done this year, and I think it's really been helpful for this club, is when they have gone through their losing streaks, that's when he's at his calmest. And when they start to win ball games and things are going well, and then they have a game where things didn't go particularly well, that's when you hear him being critical of the guys. Perfect timing for that. Mm-hmm. I think because they needed somebody to stand out in front of it, and he takes the shots for it, and then you move forward and you get past it. And they've had two losing streaks this year where, you know, it seemed that the sky was falling, and he would chuckle about it and say, mm-hmm. It's just another game, and we'll get after it tomorrow, yeah. And it's going to be okay. The players hear all of that.
Yeah.
They understand that. And I think that his timing on those things this year have been really good. And I like the fact that, you know, when somebody will ask him a question and the way that they phrase it is, but overall he had a pretty good game. And when Lloyd immediately, and it makes me chuckle, goes, well, no, not really. Hey, he's being honest, and you have to appreciate that, and I think that the players understand that. And I think that he's made them accountable for what they're doing, and I you have to do that. You just have to.
To me, the one trait that kind of wraps all of it up, that when I look at managers who have won a World Series, who are in the Hall of Fame, who are somewhere in the middle, the one thing that always stands out, the best managers are the best communicators, because you've got 25 guys. You've got a coaching staff. Everybody has to be on the same page. You want to make sure that every guy in that clubhouse feels like they know exactly what's going on with the team, with their story individually, where they are in the pecking order, whether that's at the top or the bottom. And we have found that Lloyd, most of the time, is right to the point. And you get the sense that...
And at times it can be uncomfortable, but so be it.
But that's good.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
It's a good thing.
It's better.
He's very lucid in that regard. And if you're a player, no matter where you are in your career, you want to know what the manager is thinking about you, about the team, the situations, and Lloyd seems to have that completely mastered.
And the bottom line, the common denominator, win. You know, they just had this incredible passion to win, both of them.
I definitely think that's a topic we'll explore more with the skipper and what he has brought to the table for the M's this year. Right now, though, we're going to turn things over to Chris Young, coming off of another fantastic start for the Mariners. Here's Shannon Dreher with Chris Young.
It's so funny. We do the post-game show, and it seems like we are doing the same story after each and every one of your starts, and just how you've gone out, how you've been so consistent. What has been the key to staying kind of where you're at this season?
Well, first and foremost, my teammates. I mean, they pick me up every time. I mean, I said it last night to the guys. Every time I give up a run or dig in a hole early, they come back and respond and pick us right up. So it's a function of them. I go out and last night they gave me a nice lead to work with and was able to be aggressive in the strike zone and then hand it over to, you know, the best bullpen in baseball. So it's really a function of the guys. I just try to take the ball, go out there and make good pitches, and the guys just, you know, pick me up.
It's been well documented, everything that you've been through health-wise. And 2007 was such a big year for you. You look at your numbers and what you're doing right now, and it would almost seem like it was 2008.
Yeah.
How different are you from 2007?
I feel like I have a better idea of who I am as a pitcher than I did in 2007. 2007, I think I got by more on talent. Now it's preparation, a lot of the intangibles that, you know, that come with experience. And so, and I think part of it is knowing that I've been through a few pretty significant injuries and rehabs, and knowing the hard work, the perseverance, and the dedication that it took to make it back to this level. And so I know that if I continue to do that, continue to work hard and commit to a goal and believe in myself, you know, that I can be successful. And I haven't lost that with the injuries, and I think it's what's gotten me back to this level.
I know when you were younger, there were some pitchers that were kind of mentors or people that were great examples for you. Maddox would be one of them. Who do you watch? Who do you talk to now?
We've got a great staff. I mean, everybody on the staff, I always say you can learn something from everybody. And I think that's completely true. Whether it's watching Iwakuma and the way he just dissects hitters, the way he just keeps them off balance, watching Felix and his competitiveness. Obviously, I don't have the talent that he has, but seeing how competitive he is, I feel like that's something that we can all take and use. And really, every pitcher on the staff and seeing how guys work and the commitment to one another to be great. And I think that's what makes this team special, is that we all want to do it for one another. And, you know, when you get the right group of guys who believe in themselves and believe in each other and commit to a common goal, it can lead to special things.
What do you take from Fernando, Rodney?
Yeah, his poise. Fernando is so poised out on the mound. He looks like he's you can't tell if he's given up a home run or struck out the side. He maintains that cool collectedness, and he just does not show emotion. Really, when I watch him, he's just under so much control, and it's and the same can be said for Robbie at second base. It just looks like the game for them, they're able to slow it down and really process things at a different level. Sometimes I feel like it's, you know, my mind is racing with thoughts out there, and I'm sure other guys feel the same way, but watching those guys, they just have an amazing ability to slow the game down and compose themselves.
What's it like to hand the ball to the skipper knowing that it's going to one of these relievers?
Well, it's hard to argue with him. I mean, that's the hard part. I've been on staffs where you say, no, I'm staying in this game. This is my game. But when Lloyd comes over the bench and says, you're done, I mean, what are you going to say? These guys are phenomenal. So it's just amazing being part of a staff like this. So the bullpen has been tremendous, and you have complete confidence in every single guy. And they just come in, night out, and do the job. And it's an awesome feeling.
Lastly, you got the win last night. Lloyd McLennan got his 400th. What was it like to see the little celebration in the clubhouse for him?
It's awesome. Lloyd's a great man. He's been a great manager. I've loved playing for him. I'd spoken with previous players who had played for him before I signed here, and multiple players told me it was their favorite manager they've ever played for. And I've had a great experience with him. I really respect him. I think he's got a great demeanor to him. Really, really backs his guys. And I was just really awesome to see him get that 400th win. And as I told him, I hope that I'm around for 500 and 600 too.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
There it is. I always like to hear him talk about pitching. And now we're going to end things in glorious fashion. Here it is. Some of you will remember this song. Some of you will not. Many of you probably won't. But here it is. If you remember it, good memories. If you're hearing it for the first time, well, that's great. That's great. Here it is. Rick Riz.
I can hit this. I can hit this. I can hit this. I can hit this.
Ken Griffey hits the ball so hard, makes me say, oh my lord. Give him some men on base. He'll get a hit whatever it takes. Every time you see him, Griffey is the hype. He goes 4-4-4. His future's looking bright.
I can hit this. I can hit this. I can hit this.
He's hit around the world, from New York to the Bay. Hit Griffey, come on kid, go all the way. Now why would he ever stop doing this? He's gonna break all records. Man, the kid can hit.
I can hit this.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick Riz. The game is tied at 4 as we go to the bottom of the ninth inning. Ken Griffey Jr. to lead things off. Here's the